بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله. We've come to the last two أبواب sections in كتاب الرقاق of صحيح البخاري that we're going to cover this Ramadan إن شاء الله. And we endeavor to cover 30 and we're at 29 right now. And these are two very brief chapters on which we end. So we end soon and give everyone time to go home and rest up and prepare for Eid, inshallah. The 29th Bab is titled Bab al-Jannatu aqrab ila ahadikum min shiraki na'li wal-nara mithla dhalik. The chapter on paradise being nearer to any one of you than the strap of his sandal, as well as the fire being nearer to any one of you than the strap of his sandal. The word used here is shirak, which means the strap that will be going across the sandal, because usually you have two. If you have a sandal, you usually have two straps that join across to keep the foot in place. And because of that partnership between the straps, they call it shirak. The word shirk comes from the same root. And there's two hadith in this bab. Imam al-Bukhari says, حدثني موسى ابن مسعود حدثنا سفيان عن منصور والأعمش عن أبي وائل عن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجنة أقرب إلى أحدكم من شراك نعلي والنار مثل ذلك. And this comes from Sayyidina Abdullah, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, paradise is nearer to any one of you than the strap of his sandal or shoe, as so is the hellfire. So this hadith is very clear in saying to us that the means of entering Jannah are near, are approximate, they're facilitated. It's possible to enter Jannah very easily through the means of good. But likewise, the means to entering hell are also close and proximate, and it's easy for a person to land themselves in hell. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he quotes the words of Imam ibn Battal, who says, فِيهِ أَنَّ الطَّاعَ مُوصِلَةٌ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَأَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ مُقَرِّبَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَأَنَّ الطَّاعَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ قَدْ تَكُونُ فِي أَيْسَرِ الْأَشْيَاءِ. He says that it indicates that the obedience to Allah Ta'ala and disobedience can be in the simplest of affairs. And this is why it's important that we don't belittle the ma'ruf. We don't diminish the value of the small good deeds. A person may look to the great, momentous good deeds of Hajj or Umrah or massive amounts of sadaqah and things like that, thinking that, well, that's what I aspire to, while they neglect the small means that appear every single day of just smiling to someone, or just being there for someone, or just doing small things that are all means of entering Jannah. And the next hadith in this chapter is, he says, حدثني محمد ابن المثنى حدثنا غندر حدثنا شعبة عن عبد الملك ابن عمير عن أبي سلمة عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أصدق بيت قاله الشاعر ألا كل شيء ما خلا الله باطل. He relates the hadith from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, the truest verse of poetry ever uttered by a poet is the statement, indeed everything except Allah is perishing, or everything other than Allah is not. And this hadith is one of several hadith that come from the same narration about the poetry of Labid. And he was a Jahidi poet, and he was alive during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's actually an incident that occurs in the seerah between him and Sayyidina Uthman bin Mad'un radiyallahu anhu. And here he says this line of poetry that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is the truest statement of poetry ever uttered by a poet. Now, what does this mean? The ulama mention that this phrase, indeed everything other than Allah is batil. Batil, he doesn't mean false. It means that it's fading, it's perishing, or that it could be vain. It could be vain. So how do we understand that? Is this masjid other than Allah? Of course it is. It's a house, it's a structure, it's a physical creation. So do we say that the masjid is batil? Right? Your salat that you just offered, it's other than Allah. Is it batil? It's not. So how do we understand this hadith? The ulama say that this is am makhsus, meaning it is a general statement, but it has a very particular meaning. It has a qualified meaning. And this is how we understand the Arabic language. This is how we understand verses of Quran. When Allah Ta'ala talks about the destruction of Ad and Thamud, He mentions how everything was destroyed. دَمَّرَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Everything was destroyed. But that means everything from Ad and Thamud, not everything literally in the cosmos. So that's am, it's a general statement, but it's qualified by just the intellect. We know that it was just the people that were destroyed, not the entire world. So this hadith likewise, the poem is am makhsus. It means that everything that does not lead to the pleasure of Allah is batil, it is vain, it is false. Everything that does not remind one of Allah is batil. Everything that fades or takes one into a worse state is batil. This is how it's understood. And we see this in the commentaries. He says, Imam Ibn Hajar, he quotes Ibn Jawzi, who says, كُلُّ مَا قَرُبَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ بِبَاطِلِ وَأَمَّا أُمُورُ الدُّنْيَا أَلَّتِي لَا تُؤَوَّلْ إِلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ فَهِيَ الْبَاطِلِ. Everything that draws you to Allah, closer to Him, is not batil. And everything that draws you away from Allah of the dunya matters, that's batil. That's what it means. The question here is, what's the relationship between this hadith and the chapter? Because the chapter title is, Jannah is closer to you than your shoe straps or sandal straps, and the fire is too. How does this hadith relate to the chapter title? Ibn Hajar says it's not so obvious. And he offers a possible interpretation by saying that it's as if the chapter heading implies an encouragement to obedience to Allah Ta'ala and a discouragement from disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. And that whoever goes against that counsel by not obeying Allah or by disobeying Allah, then they are doing that because they are engrossed in dunya. Right? Why would they not obey Allah Ta'ala? Because they're listening to their shahawat, their desires, their passions. Why would they engage in ma'asiyah? Because of their desires and passions. Why are they even involved in that? Because they are being inclined to dunya, because the passions are from dunya. So he says that if that's the case, then a person is reminded that dunya, any dunya that is leading you away from Allah is batil. It is vain. And that's the relation between the hadith and the chapter heading. We end with the final chapter, which is chapter 30, a single hadith. And the title of this bab is Bab لينظر إلى من هو أسفل منه ولا ينظر إلى من هو فوقه. That one must look to who is of a lower status and not look to one who was of a higher status in worldly matters. And this is a familiar concept that we've spoken about before in the area of shukr and sabr. He cites the hadith in this bab. حدثنا إسماعيل قال حدثني مالك عن أبي الزناد عن الأعرج عن أبي هريرة عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا نظر أحدكم إلى من فضل عليه في المال والخلق فلينظر إلى من هو أسفل منه. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه relates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if any one of you looked at a person who was made superior to him in wealth and in form, then he should look instead at one who is of inferior status to him in these things. The meaning is very clear. And there's different wordings of this narration. The idea is very simple. If you open your phone and your Twitter account is filled with pages of the lifestyles and the rich and famous, and Cribs and all of these shows that show you the lifestyles of the people who have more than you, and that's all you consume, you are going to feel a very stark sense of lacking. You're going to feel that you have less. That's the reality, right? If everyone has like a nice $100,000 car and you don't, you can't help but feel that you have less, even though you have a car and others don't have a car. Or if you don't have a car, you have 2 feet and others don't have 2 feet, right? So the idea is very simple. When it comes to dunya, look to those who have less than you so that you have more shukr. And in terms of deen, look to those who have more than you. If you prayed in the masjid, then consider those who did more prayer. If you did lots of prayer and lots of sadaqat, consider those who gave more than you, those who sacrificed more than you. If you sacrificed, consider that you know what's in your heart and presume that other people have better situations in their hearts. Just look to those who exude the prophetic character more than you, so you feel a sense of lack, because that kind of lack is positive, as it causes you to want to catch up. And if you catch up in that, you are competing with others in deen, in matters of akhirah. You're not competing in matters of dunya. That's the ultimate lesson. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خير for all of you in your attendance. Inshallah, next year maybe we cover 30 to 60, inshallah, of this bab.